Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
We hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday out there, everybody. Be safe out there. Hope you're doing all right. We got some fun stuff lined up for you this hour. That ain't right stories, good stories of the day. We're going to get into those. We're going to talk about how you do in a snowball fight.
Oh, yeah.
We got that coming up. But I did want to touch on this really quick. Of course, we've touched on the school closings in our area. If you need to know about that, you know by now.
They're all closed.
Yeah, basically.
End of story.
We did want to let everybody know that the Focus Food Pantry has the policy that when schools are closed, the pantry is closed, so keep that in mind. And our friends at the Aging and Disability Resource Center have decided to cancel their on-site meal deliveries for today because of the winter storm predictions. So they're in studio restaurants and food and
in person.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Please keep that in mind, and of course keep an eye out for all of our good people out there that need it. You know, your neighbors, your friends, mm-hmm. people that you know of, people you see all the time. Check in on them.
Absolutely, do so.
And please take your time out there, everybody.
Yeah, it's a little icy. I looked out the windows a bit ago. My trees are very pretty, very coated in ice.
Nice. That part's nice. Mm-hmm. Coming up after Melissa and I are done hanging out at 10:04, we're going to kick off Morning Magazine for the day. We've got Family Natural Foods in part one, Stephen and Katrina Hittner.
Oh, great.
Love catching up with them. Always good to mm-hmm. see those guys. Going to be fun to hear about how things are going over at the store.
I did some Christmas shopping at their store, and I got to give those gifts this last weekend, and they loved them.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. It's a great place to go to get some unique gifts.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, especially with that. If you're looking for not only unique gifts, but looking for ways to, you know, give a gift that truly keeps giving, like things mm-hmm. that can help an immune system or, yeah. you know, essential oils, so many different things, you know, stop by there.
Yeah, some fun organic food. They've got different kinds of meats and some chocolates that you can get there. You can't get anywhere else in town. So
we'll be talking about it about 10:04 today. Be sure to join us for that. Mm-hmm. And then at 10:30, we have our friends from Encouragin'. Kim Shields will be with us, and they are welcoming in the Wood County Health Department. We'll have Ashley and Julia and Jacob joining us. Looking forward to that.
Oh, wonderful. They'll have good information, I'm sure, about where you can get your flu vaccines and COVID vaccines, because we need to get those.
Mm-hmm. We also, a little bit later today, right here on WFHR at 6:40, got Wisconsin women's basketball. It's a ball night. Badger ladies are taking on Green Bay, and our coverage will begin at 6:40 for that.
Ooh, that should be a good game.
Should also mention that all of this is schedule subject to change. You guys understand what's going on out there with Mother Nature. So if any of our guests or the game later tonight, anything gets canceled or anything, we, you know, of course, we'll let you know as soon as we know.
It's Wisconsin winter.
Yeah, I think we kind of understand.
We take all schedules with a grain of salt.
Yes, really, really, truly does. Truly do. So I got a fun one here for Miss Melissa. The mm-hmm. 10 cities with the naughtiest and nicest holiday drivers.
Oh, I saw this list earlier.
As you've been out and about this holiday season, have you found your fellow drivers to be more aggressive or more considerate? And yes, I realize that 1,000% of people would rather complain about other drivers.
Yes.
A new study came up with lists of the cities with the naughtiest and nicest holiday season drivers. And they're ranked, and it's just 10 for each.
10 for each. Okay. And I only read the naughtiest list, so I'm very curious here.
All right. So let's go over that naughty list first. Let's do mm-hmm. that too first. The naughty list. Tucson, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson, Florida. Okay. Nashville.
Tennessee, got it.
Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Ooh.
Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Tampa, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Salt Lake City. And Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee. So two Tennessees and three Floridas.
Hmm.
But a lot of those in the South there.
Yeah, apparently they say there are a lot of bad drivers in Florida and Tennessee. This study says the most frequently aggressive driving habits during the holidays are heartbreaking, speeding, and rapid acceleration.
Those are all things we can't do up here in the north at the holiday times, though.
No.
Not with roads like today, especially.
No, not at all. No.
No.
But
it's not an option.
No. Good to keep in mind, though. Definitely good to keep in mind.
Yeah.
How about the nice list?
Okay.
The nice list. First up, Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle.
Okay.
Las Vegas.
Hmm.
Rochester. Providence, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Cleveland, okay. Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and Buffalo, New York.
Interesting. Notice those are all northern parts of our
interesting,
states.
All right. Yeah.
The only one that's the outlier, it was Las Vegas.
Yes.
Because they really don't get snow.
Right.
But everybody else is dealing with,
There's a lot of Ohio representation there. Maybe there are just more commissioned over the state. You know, they're used to bad weather.
we got to expect that this time of year. You have to be more of a cautious driver when the roads are slippery.
If you wanted to see the complete list, you can go to gasbuddy.com. It's all one word. As the complete rankings of all 50 states. So that, of course, means we have to check where's Wisconsin. Or any Wisconsin cities here. And so I'm looking at the complete list right now, and I see Milwaukee at 29.
Not bad.
Yeah. St. Louis, Missouri at 30. Mm-hmm. Chicago at 34.
Okay.
Kansas City at 35.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep, that's about it. Okay. So in this list, okay, so and those are where you want to be if you are looking for the nice list, because they have Portland, Cincinnati, and all that on the 50, 49. So the higher number is better for you.
Okay. All right. So we're kind of in the middle of the pack.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think that, most of us would agree with. I mean, that, and it's no disrespect to Wisconsin drivers. I just mean that that's kind of par for the course from the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have an answer here of who the worst drivers are in whatever state you border.
Right.
Whatever state you border, the state next to you is the worst drivers.
Yep.
I don't care if you're in.
It's the easiest thing to insult to throw out. Those Minnesota drivers.
Those darn Ohio drivers. Yeah, I mean, I don't care where you are. The state next to you has the worst drivers ever.
Yep.
Everywhere I've lived, everywhere I've traveled in this wonderful country of ours, I think maybe the most consistent thing is that.
Pretty easy.
It is pretty easy.
Low hanging fruit, as it were.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. Are there things that you immediately think of when it comes to, I know it's this time of year, so I'm going to do this from now on. A lot of people, like, they will leave their four-wheel drive on as soon as it starts getting weather like this. Or I know one of the things that my dad does is putting the sand in the back of the of his vehicle.
Yeah, that is something to do. I make sure that I have warm clothing.
Mm.
I have an extra pair of boots, snow pants, gloves, hats, mittens, that kind of stuff in the car. And then I also make sure that I don't tailgate. I try not to do that anyway. Like, follow somebody too close. Because that is the worst thing you can do on a slippery road.
Yeah. I think that those are good points. I think those are good things to mention.
Mm-hmm.
What we'll do I wanted to touch on this one. Let me go ahead and get to this story. We'll do that first. We have 5 common holiday injuries and how to avoid them.
Oh.
Yeah. This is that time of year as well for that, where we're talking about the, good, bad drivers and everything. Certainly when you get inside, there's plenty of things that can go wrong, too.
Oh, yes.
We don't want you to ruin your holidays by accidentally hurting yourself. So here are a few common holiday injuries and how to avoid them. Number 1, falling off a ladder while you're hanging decorations.
I knew that was going to be on the list.
Yep.
I just didn't know it would be number 1.
There are 160 of those types of injuries every day this time of year.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot.
Every
Be careful on
day.
Ladders.
Every day. The rule of thumb is for every 4 feet you have to climb, you should move the base of the ladder 1 foot away from the wall. And please, just as importantly, make sure there is somebody there to spot you or hold down the ladder.
Yes, that is very helpful. Also, your belly button should not extend beyond the ladder.
Yep. Yep.
Any direction.
Yep, that's a great one. My dad told me that when I was a kid, and I thought, yep. Man, that's a good one, Melissa. That's a good
and,
one.
And 3 points of contact at all times.
Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, think about it this way, everybody. If you think that's silly, how silly are you going to feel if you're in, you know, wherever the afterworld is and everything, and you got to tell everybody, I died because I didn't do this one step, well, you know.
Yeah, that or you got to be in a boot cast for Christmas.
Right.
That's not fun
yeah,
either.
That doesn't seem like fun. I feel like it's a lot better to move the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Toy-related injuries show up at number two.
Like stepping on Legos?
That should be on the list. That should be number one on the list right there. I've got scars on the bottom of my feet, I believe, from Legos.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive of it.
They're such a fun toy, but man, are they painful.
Is that the... I almost would rather step on one of those than a pin. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which one hurts more. I don't know. There are around 150,000 toy-related injuries each year in kids with kids in kids 14 and under.
Oh, okay. We're talking about kids.
So make sure they're old enough for the new toys they're buying. Yeah. The most dangerous statistically are Razor scooters.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Doesn't seem like it would be, but yeah. Yeah, I could see that. And
make sure those scooters come with pads and a helmet.
Yeah, yeah. Fires show up at number three.
Mm, yeah.
Be careful cooking and with trees and candles.
Decorations.
Yeah. Trees cause around 100 major fires in November and December each year, and candles cause 1,000.
Whoa.
It's one of the fun things about this time of year is the decoration process and mm-hmm. the things we get to use for decoration. Unfortunately, a lot of these things tend to be flammable. And I know, you know, well, there's, you know, a lot of the modern stuff and everything, they've kind of done a good job of correcting a lot of those things. And I agree with that. I think they have. But how many people have brand new holiday decorations?
Right.
The majority of our decorations are hand-me-downs.
Mm-hmm.
And spoiler alert, they did not care that much about that stuff back in the day. I shouldn't say they didn't care. The rules, the laws were a lot differently.
Yes.
You can get away with a lot yes. more back then.
Yeah, let's talk about asbestos snowflakes in the Wizard of
mm-hmm,
Oz. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, things have changed over time.
Yeah.
So, and as far as like candles go, I think I would theorize that a lot of that happens because maybe there's a lot more people burning candles this time of year that don't usually do it.
Yeah.
And when you're not used to having a candle lit, you don't always remember, oh, hey, I should blow that out before I leave the room, before I go to bed.
This is something that actually I feel like I have a good stake in that I can talk about, mm-hmm. especially this time of year, because obviously we celebrate Hanukkah every year around this time. And
mm-hmm.
for I don't imagine this is common knowledge. You are not permitted to use those candles. My friend can't light his cigarette on them or something like that. Or, you know, you can't, and you can use the candles to, like, you have your main candle that lights all the others, mm-hmm. but that's it. You can't even use the candles to light another candle. You're supposed to let them just burn to their essence.
The base? Okay.
Yeah, to the base, thank you. Burn to the base so that you are able to contemplate and remember the miracle that happened with, you know, of course, the burning and all that. With that, you kind of, my mom, and, you know, certainly we've experienced a fire in their house. That's something that was always a big deal to us. We, you know, not just, of course, to take in the moment and to remember and watch them for that, but to watch them for, you know, safety reasons.
Safety first.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder, you know, from my mother, if it wasn't a little column A, a little column B on that one. Her faith and, you know, safety.
And how long do those candles take to burn?
You know, I would say 20 minutes, maybe. Maybe a half an hour.
Long.
No,
yeah.
not very long at all, no. And I'm ballparking here. I think that's about how long they take. Maybe they go a little bit longer than that, but I wouldn't say any shorter than a half an hour, 20 minutes, somewhere around there.
Okay.
Lifting injuries. My God, yes.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
We get a lot more packages this time of year, so don't rush or twist while picking stuff up. And mm-hmm. lift with your legs, not your back, James.
James.
My dad has been telling
men
me this.
Men in general.
Yeah, really. Yeah, good point. Yeah. My dad's been telling me this for years, and I've just never been very good at remembering. It always takes me usually to hurt myself before I remember, oh, yeah, I lift with my legs.
Well, and I pick on men, but women do it, too. You know, we're all guilty of it. And it's not just packages. Let's talk about that massive amounts of snow that are coming later in our forecast. Take breaks. Take breaks when you're shoveling and drink lots of water. Yeah. And lift with your knees.
You and I were going to the same place on that one. I think that that's more dangerous than the packages just because of the consistency of it.
Right, because there's a lot to do.
You heard Paul at the beginning of this hour talking about the snow that we're going to be getting. And if you were listening clearly, or specifically, you heard him say heavy snow coming.
Right. It's going to be wet.
Yeah. So keep that in mind when you're going out there and shoveling. I know you want to get it done. I know a lot of us try to be machines about this and just do it really fast. Take your time.
How you get injuries.
Yep.
And you haven't shoveled snow yet this year for most of us.
And I think a lot of us, including myself, when we think about this, okay, lift with my legs, lift with my legs. We don't think about that twist part, though.
Right.
I'm one of those people, I'm always trying to do two things at once, and I got to get better about that. I have to slow down. And the part of that twist comes in when you're hurrying, when you're trying to get this box over to the other room quick. So you twist, because that's just what we do. We naturally do that as human beings. But keep that in mind.
It is not good for your body. And if you're not warmed up, you're more likely to get an injury. So start slow and then work your way up. And this is a good time to mention, if you haven't already, you should check your snow blowers, because hopefully you have a snow blower. And I'm thinking of a particular snow blower that needs a blade replacement.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a good time to do that. It's definitely a good time to check on that.
You
got to
check on those, because when you turn it on, you want it to work. If the blades aren't going to turn, you're not going to get very far.
Your neighbors are just going to think you're weird if you just go out there with the snow blower and make noises.
And just push it around, right? If I think hard enough, this is going to work.
Actually, that would suck, because those things, they don't move for nothing if they're not on. If they're not on, they don't move for nothing.
Especially not in the 18 inches of snow.
Yeah. And while I love to send more business to our great friends at Stoiber Healthcare and the chiropractors that they, you know, the work that they do there, we would rather you keep your body in good shape. You know,
not for an injury, just for maintenance.
No. Yes. Yes. Good point, Mel. And finally on this list, cutting yourself.
Oh, I suppose.
The big culprit is opening packages with scissors or a knife. Always cut away from yourself, but never towards anyone else. And make sure to help kids with packaging that might be tough to open.
Mm-hmm.
One of the funnest things, easily, top three funnest things about this time of year is little kids opening packages.
Yes.
Never fails. Always brings a smile to my face, whether I know the kid or not. Just makes you smile seeing that. You don't want that smile to go to a frown. You know, maybe, you know this package better. You packaged it yourself. You are Santa, so go ahead and check it first and make sure to help.
And that's one of those jobs those elves do, I'm pretty sure, is that when the toy arrives, they make sure to cut the tape on the box so that when the child opens the present, they don't have to get into that tape. They can just open the box right up. So you can pre-set some of that, elves out there, so that it's easy to open the package for the children. Now, if the children are 15, 16, 17, then you wrap it in duct tape.
Yes.
Cover the whole thing.
I was hoping we'd get to this. It is one of my dad's favorite things in the world to do. And he would do this back to back years, and each time he would think he'd never done this before.
You're not going to see this coming.
He'd get me one of those little you're in line waiting to check out, and you see all the items there, and there's little Lego sets and things.
So
he would get me something like that, but it would be in 50 boxes.
That's the classic.
Oh, gosh. He would do this, and not to say that he thought he was the original with this or anything, but he would do it like you'd never heard of it before. You'd never see. He'd get such a kick out of it.
Yeah. I'll never forget the year that I was pretty little, too, but my uncles got my grandpa a tractor. But it was, the toy-sized tractor. But they packaged it in a box that was probably about, 3 feet by 4 feet. And they put weights in the bottom. And then it was the box and the box and the box and the box. So it was the super heavy giant box with, when he finally got through the, what, 6-8 boxes down to this tiny little itty bitty little tractor.
Oh,
I think he was rather put out.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
It's very That's good. I'm gonna be laughing about that just because I don't know these people, so I'm just imagining in my head what they look like, and I think it's a little bit like more funny.
Now I can tell you from the personal perspective of this, it's not a great trick to be played on you when it's your first Christmas after getting married. The last box, it's a big box. You think you're gonna have this marvelous gift in there, and you open it up, and it's a pair of socks.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so great.
I would suggest when you're doing that, especially if you're doing that to kids or teenagers, you know,
or your significant other.
Yes, have a great gift to follow up to that.
Know your audience.
Yes, know your audience. Have a great, especially if they're not into jokes like this. Don't try. Don't do this.
No.
But if you're going to do it, have a great gift to like follow up. Like, hey, yeah, that was funny and everything. Now here's this.
Yeah, don't end with that.
No,
it's not a great finisher.
There you go. Nice. That's the way to put it. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we're going to get into how many of us adults would welcome a pre-owned gift this Christmas.
Me.
And right back to you. Same here. So that's two people right there. And how many of us would consider ourselves a liability in a snowball fight?
Oh.
That's all coming up right here with Melissa and James on Mornings at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. Looking at the temperatures in your neck of the woods, it is 33 in Stevens Point and Marshfield and Wausau. And, of course, you heard Jen tell us our temperature here in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa and James here with you on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great one out there, everybody, and being safe. Melissa, it does look like it is clearing up a little bit here, but we, of course, from Paul earlier in our forecast just there, we know that some stuff is coming.
Yes, and I have heard actually that the roads aren't too terrible north of me, which is surprising.
And Melissa's in Abbotsford.
Mostly wet. Mm. Yeah.
And for the audience that doesn't know, Melissa's in Abbotsford, so.
Right.
That's good to hear. Do we try to barter with Mother Nature from here out? Should we have been doing this the whole time? Should we have been trying to like work a trade system out with her or something? I don't know. I feel like we've been doing this wrong.
I don't know if it's going to work, James. I mean, how many dances have we done out under the moon
to try
to get rain or not rain?
Trying. And it doesn't seem to work. I hope we entertain her, though. I hope at the very least
she's entertained.
But do keep in mind, everybody, that as we told you, the Aging and Disability Resource Center, their in-person meals and their Meals on Wheels are canceled for today, and the food pantry is. So your community, you know your neighbors, and maybe you don't. Now's a good opportunity to find out. Reach out to your neighbors, especially you see them out and about. If you see some of our senior vet, you know, people out there or something, you know that they are, you know, live alone or maybe their partner is also of you know, senior. Reaching out and seeing how they're doing. It takes, you know, minutes to do and go so much farther than we could ever word.
Yeah.
Encouraging.
Even just checking in and saying, hey, how's it going today? Mm-hmm. Goes a long way.
Yeah. What we'll do is I want to get to Melissa's news on time here, so we'll go ahead and take the quick segment. We'll go to Mel's news. We'll come back, and we got some fun topics to get into right here on the morning show right at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR.
Snow, it won't be long before we'll all be there with snow.
Something about that song every time makes me think of The King and I.
Oh, really?
The beginning of it. Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah. No, I could see that. I feel like the couple of times it's played, it's the opposite of snow out there. And I'm just looking outside at that beautiful voice that's hitting our airwaves.
Rain.
And I'm Sleet.
Anything but snow.
Melissa Japes here with you on Mornings at WFHR. We got a story we're going to get into. I do got to call an audible for a second, though. As we are coming out of our commercial break, you heard our promo for the Sunshine Polka Show featuring Tim Hubbelt, one of our favorite, if not the best show ever of all time, period.
Yes.
I love that show. We used to have promos back in the day before we had the team that we have now and everything. And I was very proud of the work we did with the, you know, small staff that we had. But man, it feels so good to hear these commercial breaks nowadays. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, for the last couple of years, I would say this, but specifically the last year, the way that our breaks sound now, you hear a huge difference of like an old PSA and our new stuff. And I don't mean that as any slight to the past or anything like that.
No,
it's not about that.
I mean, technology advances and
well, and yes, yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off there, Melissa.
No, that's okay.
Do that. Yes, as that technology advances, but as our team advances and grows, I would say going back to when Steph first joined us and the writing and production and editing that she worked on so diligently on, I really wanted to work and get good at that part of the job, and she has incredibly good at it. You know, Seth and the work that he does, his ear for sound and the care that he puts into this stuff and the fun that he has doing the job, I think shows. Melissa has done a fantastic job. I want to just a quick look behind the curtain here. The Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater production, the commercial that you're hearing from her about Miracle on 34th Street, that's all Mel, written, produced, and done within like 2 seconds. Like,
well, a bit more than that.
Kicked that out like nobody's business, Melissa. I was really proud of that. And just adds to the work that you've already done. And the whole team here. Ashley's done some good work. I mean, everybody around here. I like to think that I've done a good thing or two in the, you know, one or two things in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Absolutely.
Jury's out. But
it takes the whole team, and it is fun that we all get to work together and do these things. I love the production side of stuff. It's a lot of fun to take a script or write a script and then find the music to go with it and the sound effects, and it's just fun.
I had a listener asking me, like, hey, I hear other, you know, shows promoted from other networks on your guys' station. Do they do that for you? And to be honest with you, I don't know.
They do.
I think that they do, and I would think that they did. But whether they do, whether they don't, I think you guys understand we're a small station. We have to promote ourselves. Not other people are going to do it for us and everything. We don't have a whole lot of ways to advertise us. And we certainly want to call out and give credit to the hard people working behind the scenes here to make all this stuff happen. All those great commercial breaks and as good as all that great work that everybody's doing doesn't mean a darn thing if you don't have somebody like Pam Hilke out there making sure that everything plays in the right spots and on time and advertisers are getting the amount of ads they paid for and all these things.
Yeah. Well, the wonderful thing about Civic Media is that we're really coming together as a network and helping to promote each other's shows. I actually got to go on the Pat Kreitlow show this morning and promote WFHR.
That's so cool. That's very cool. I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, well, it kind of came about because of our Christmas party this last weekend, and we got to meet a bunch of people that we've only talked with on Zoom, and he approached me to say, you know, because I'm up early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of us are up that early.
Yeah.
and so it's going to be an every Wednesday thing. I'll get to go on for just, you know, a 10-minute segment and talk about our shows and what's going on WFHR and in Wisconsin Rapids.
I love that. And a big shout out to Pat and his team. Pat's great. Pat is very, I've heard him for a long time on the air, and he's very good at what he does. That's really cool, Melissa. I like that.
Yeah, he had a lot of wonderful things to say about WFHR and Carl and memories of working with him
years ago. Yeah, great guy. I'm not surprised at all that you two would hit it off, but I didn't know about that. That's really cool. I feel so bad I wasn't able to be at that party. I heard such good things, though. Really, really a great opportunity. A big shout out to Civic Media hosting that and having a real, true Christmas party for us. Mm-hmm. Like, that was pretty cool.
Thank you. Thank
I will
you,
say,
Sage, and putting it together.
We've been a little spoiled about that. Our friends at Heart of Wisconsin Media gave us a great Christmas party too, and you know we've had. I don't want to make it sound like we've never had a good one or something like that. Like it was just very cool that they did this. You know, we're new.
And bringing us all together. I think that was the big thing, so that we got to meet because our team is scattered across the entire state.
Yeah.
So to try to get as many people together under one roof and get to meet each other and network with colleagues, it was a good time.
They had a comedian there, I believe.
Yes, I did not go to the show, but I heard he was great.
Well, and I thought that was a really cool idea. Like that.
Well, it was down at the comedy club, so it wasn't specifically for the party.
To line it up with that, though, if that was the case, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice, you know, not everybody's going to, if you bring a music act in, not everybody's going to, chances are not everybody's going to like that music. But comedians, you know, that's a pretty safe ground right there. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And one other thing about our team here at WFHR, I will take this team over anybody in any other radio station when it comes to a snowball fight.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I like our odds. I like our odds.
I think so, too.
I think you look at, like, you know, Seth and I, and I've got the range. I've got Melissa, I can throw for a long distance. My accuracy, not as good, but I can throw very far.
And that's kind of a key. Mm-hmm. You're gonna set them off balance right away by getting pummeled from as far away as we can get them. And then Pam will be back there doing the logistics.
Right, right.
And making the snowballs. Steph is a scrapper.
No, this is where I wanted to go. Because Seth, you know, the Minnesota background, I'm guessing he's got some pretty good experience making a snowball and chucking one of those and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Steph is our secret weapon. I don't think anybody would see her coming. And while I've never been in the snowball fight with Steph, I have no doubt whatsoever that she would be an assassin, a relentless assassin at it.
And not only this, with your and Seth's, you know, sports expertise, I can see doing some strategic plans there. We're like, all right, well, we're gonna flank out like this. Steph and Melissa are gonna run behind Seth, and as we come in, then they pop out and sneak attack from, you know, like we totally got
this. Here's the idea. Here's the idea. To all the nonprofits out there, get us and some other radio stations together, or just even like all of our like civic media, all the stations under the civic media umbrella, and let's have a snowball fight or something like that to for charity. We'll do something like that for charity.
That would be awesome.
Oh, God, that'd be a lot of fun. That'd be so great. So that's where we go with our next topic is snowball fights. If you've spent any time on social media outside your main social circle, you might think America needs a nationwide bonding activity. Because we do. We do need that. Yeah. We need to bring Hands Across America back or something like that. I don't know. And it sounds like most of us would be down for a snowball fight.
I think so.
In a series of new polls, 64% of people say they love or like snowball fights, while only 20% don't like them or hate them. Another 15% don't have an opinion on snowball fights at all, of course. Why'd you fill out the survey?
Those are people living in the South don't get snow.
Those are people that want to drive me insane.
Or that. One of those two camps.
People 45 and older were most likely to not like snowball fights, but that's probably just because they're out of practice, maybe.
Right.
Among all Americans, 39% say they haven't participated in a snowball fight in more than 10 years. For 25%, it's been more than 20 years, and 9% of people claim they have never been in a snowball fight.
Aww.
Wow.
Sad for you.
Regardless of your experience, Americans are not pushovers. When asked if you'd be more of an asset or a liability in a massive snowball fight, 39% of people believe they'd be an asset. Just 28% claim they'd be a liability, and 33% of people aren't sure about their prowess, of course.
Those are the people who haven't participated before.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, I think
or that. Just thrown one or two.
Yeah. Do you have any snowball fight memories, or how do you enjoy snowball fights, Melissa?
We used to build massive snow like forts. So I went to a one room schoolhouse outside of Fort McCoy when I was in grade school, and I went to school with all boys for the most part, for the majority. But we would split into two teams. We'd build these massive forts, and then we would have all out war. Like it took. Because we'd get, I think we had at least two decent-sized recesses during the day.
Mm.
So the morning recess, you'd spend building your fort or you know, like making it better, enhancing it, or shoring it up after the battle from the previous day. And then lunch recess, battle. Like, we would just go all out. Somebody'd be making the snowballs. We'd be strategically planning how we're going to sneak attack. And, yeah. Oh, we had so much fun.
I just didn't have a whole lot of experience with snowball fighting before coming up here to Wisconsin. And when I first moved into Rapids here, and I'm going to Washington Elementary, the first winter I had here was the first chance for me to really experience snowball fighting. And I did not realize that this was war. I didn't realize that that's how serious it got taken up here and everything.
Oh.
I'm just having some fun with it and everything. And there was a kid in our class, Jeremy Osborne. Shout out to Ozzy. He lives in Madison now. Jeremy has cerebral palsy. And I've mentioned Ozzy on the air before. He was in our intramurals teams. He was on our basketball team and stuff. And Ozzy was such a big influence and such a great friend for me as a person, but also as somebody who helped me understand more and more of what people going through disabilities, what their life is like, and how they'd like to be treated and that kind of thing. But I remember I'm whipping these snowballs. I get behind our little base area there. I look up and Jeremy goes to throw one and took a snowball to the face like I've never seen before. And like, okay,
yeah,
they're even hitting Jeremy. All right. If they're hitting Jeremy, man, I am not, they're definitely
not holding back.
No, especially at this point in the game where these kids, like, the fact that I looked the way I did and I was from Illinois did not help me, Eddie, in a snowball fight.
Get the tall kid.
Yep. That's one of my earliest memories. Also, at Nana and Papa's house in Rome, where the way their deck was, as high as the snow could get some years, it was right up almost to the top of the deck. So you could jump off the deck and jump right into the snow.
Nice.
And my sister and I would have this like race where we would set up a bunch of snowballs. And we'd have to jump off the deck and dive in, and we'd try to have to, kind of go through the snow and see who could get to them fastest. Spoiler,
that's awesome.
Even with my much longer legs than my sister, somehow Jillian always beat me to this.
She's quick. You got to be quick.
And for a little thing, man, she could throw a ball. She could whip those things, too.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a quick commercial break right here. We'll come back, have some more fun. But I do think it would be kind of fun for our audience to play along. If you guys want to share some fun, granted, PG-13, snowball stories.
Snowball memories, yeah.
Go to our Facebook page and share them there. Go to our Facebook page. If you haven't already liked the page, type in your Facebook search bar, WFHR. And while you're at it, go ahead and type in WIRI as well.
Yeah.
And like the pages and, leave us your favorite snowball fight stories or anything on there.
Better, pictures of you having one.
Dear God, yes. Please. Oh,
tomorrow.
Yes.
When we have all this ridiculous
right.
snow. Right.
Yes. It doesn't have to just be in the next 24 hours. It could be, that's a great point. Next couple of days. I don't care when it is. Go ahead and share those stories with us. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, you can always email us, james@wfhr.com. You can, of course, email Melissa. Melissa, your email is...
Melissa.k@civicmedia.us.
I'm still learning the civic media address, Addies. But yeah, get them to us, everybody. We'll take a break. We'll come back with a Not That Ain't Right story and some good stories of the day and plenty more fun coming up here on Mornings at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here on WFHR. Melissa and James here with you to take it to the top of the hour. Get you ready for Morning Magazine. Have a That Ain't Right story here. And have you ever lived in an apartment with paper thin walls? Yes, the majority of my life. It's usually the noise that gets you, not this. A college kid in Illinois named McKenna Buchanan posted a TikTok video after her neighbor's hamster chewed through their shared wall and popped its head out the hole.
Oh my goodness.
It was a small hole at first. She heard a weird sound, so she texted her roommate for help. She said something was digging into her place, and the roommate's reply was, what? The hamster, whose name is Linda, eventually popped her head out, but she wouldn't come out the wall, so they had to lure her out with tortilla chips. Didn't know that would work. McKenna let her neighbor know what happened, and Linda is back home. It's not clear who's paying to fix the wall, but the landlord can't be very thrilled about it.
Yeah, probably not.
By the way, if Pixar ever wants to do like a remake of Shawshank Redemption and with animals, I think you've got something here. The whole he dig through the wall, you put up the Rita Hayworth poster or whatever, and he made it. It didn't make it very far, and going to be back home, but made it.
You know, it's a long distance for a hamster, though.
Got pretty far. Got a lot farther than I think a lot of us would have. I'm going to try something here, Melissa, audio-wise, that I would like to play for the audience over the airwaves here. And this is with good reason. I got a clip here of a little kid. It's only about 30, 40 seconds, not even. The clip proves that kids do pay attention to what you say. A five-year-old boy heard his dad and grandpa stressing about work, so he gave them a little bit of advice. We're going to play it for you right now.
Can you tell me that again,
hey,
what?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about on Monday. Today has enough worries of its own. That's what God says.
So what do? I just concentrate on today?
You just worry about everything's what... You just worry about what is going on today.
Tell me that.
Isn't that pretty good? I think that was pretty good. I like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Five-year-olds have the best advice.
You know, for one, we talk about this a lot, Melissa, about kids always, you know, they're sponges. They're always listening. Mm-hmm. So it's important how we treat each other, how we talk about each other, how we talk about positions, jobs in the world, all these different things. They're taking all of this in.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't think we think of all the time is asking, hey, how's this impacting you?
Yeah.
How is this making you feel? How is this, you know, that? It's asking follow-up questions or asking questions in general at all to our kids, to children in general.
Well, because I think adults get very wrapped up in the world that they're in, and they don't necessarily think about how certain parts of that affect the younger people that are around them.
Yeah, and I feel like you can speak to this pretty well, Melissa, coming from the background you do and working in schools and everything. But just in general, I would think that anybody, you know, certainly could pick up on this and see this, mm-hmm. if you're paying attention, that is.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, gosh, we would just encourage you to, you know, be the good out there.
Yep.
Have some, I love that. That kid is awesome, by the way. That was great. I wanted to get to a couple of other good stories of the day. A snowstorm in the UK caused a big traffic jam near London the other day, but one driver made the most of it and built a snowman in the middle of the road.
Great.
It's pretty good. Yeah, you know, English have a little bit of a sarcastic, more of a you know, deadpan sense of humor. I feel like there was a little of that at play there.
Well, if you're stuck and you can't go anywhere, why not?
Right. Yeah. 165 people in a small town in Belgium pooled their money for a lottery drawing last week, $20 each, and one of the tickets hit the jackpot for $151 million.
Nice.
Each person will walk away with about $915,000.
Whoa. Hey, that's a $20 investment worth every cent.
I would love to see what that town's like holiday, like, you know, Christmas parties and like all their
block parties.
Yeah, their town events that they have and everything, like what they must be like. I gotta think that those are pretty big right now.
Well, yeah, if they can come together like that, just imagine. That's awesome.
Transit workers in New York shut the power to the third rail on the set of train tracks this month to rescue a little orange kitten. And now the woman who initially called it has adopted that kitten.
Aw, that's sweet.
And it's important to find purpose in life, and it might even save your life. A study at Boston University found people with a strong sense of purpose live longer.
Hmm.
They did this amazing study, and this one goes way back. I encourage people to check this out. You can go to Boston University's website to find out more about it. But, man, is it a cool story, and it really does speak to something that really reigns true throughout history. It wasn't just like recent history that they did this. They looked back in time and found that this is just a case. If you have purpose, you tend to live longer. And that may not mean, oh, this cause or that cause. It could just be, you know, family. It could just be, you know, a personal passion or something like
something
that.
Something to live for.
But it's such an important thing to find in life and you know, work towards and have. And boy, yes. You know, we wish you the best in finding it and hope you have it in your life.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Melissa, thank you so much for a fun show today. This was a blast. You have yourself.
It was great, James. Thanks for having me on.
Be safe over there, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Alrighty, sounds good.
Be good to each other out there, everybody, and stay safe. We'll talk to you soon and later right here on Mornings at WFHR. We are locally grown radio.